Good evening.
I trust that you are doing well. If you're wondering why that's turned a little bit that way, is the guy in the middle kept looking at my wife. And no matter what I did, dude just kept looking. And so now he's looking at me. But let's give the Lord a hand of praise, because he is faithful and he is extremely kind and wonderful. And Dennis Peacock, I can't say enough about you and what God has done in your life for all of these years. I remember the first time I ever heard him, I had, like many of you, I had no idea what he said. Not a clue. But it resonated so deep in my Shonda. You got a Shonda? And so deep in my Shonda, in my inner man, that I just responded and became a student from a distance. But I thank God for moving through time. As I was sent to Charlotte to pastor, he would always check on me through one of my close friends, and then we were able to reconnect about 2 years ago, and he and Jan have been wonderful to us. And so can we just give God appreciation for both of them and all you stand for in the kingdom of God? I told Catherine, she asked me if I was ready, and I said, yeah, I'm just going to show Dennis's DVD or video from last night. And all I have to do is say hit play, and we're good to go. But that's a lot to come behind, and I thank God that we're not in competition. I'm just here to fill in a part of the puzzle that I believe I've been called to fill in. I'm confident in what God has called me to do, while sometimes I'm weary and wonder about it, but I know in the very depth of me that I'm doing what he would have me to do. And so I never go anywhere to be the showcase. I go to try and fit in and serve and complete or connect the dots wherever I'm supposed to. So I trust that tonight the Lord will do that through us. And so, Father, have your way, and we're open to you, and whatever your desires are, whatever you desire for us to become from this time together, we shall become it. Kingdom of God, come, flow, manifest, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 2 and Abraham 17. 1 Peter 2 and Abraham 17. Just want to touch on those places as I minister tonight. 1 Peter, the second chapter, Abraham, the 17th chapter. This has been an extremely great time for all of us, and I think we're all growing in the things of God, and I believe that as we come from this place this weekend, we will have been perfected a little more and established so that God can do great and wonderful and awesome things through us. We've been blessed already. So I'll get to those scriptures sometime. If I don't read them in your own study like I read them already, and just say, you know, he was going to get here, but he didn't. And again, I thank my wife for being with me. It's she doesn't travel with me a lot. She's been a domestic engineer slash stay-at-home mom for 23 years. Our oldest is 23, and for 23 years, she has sewn into him and now his 18-year-old brother. And so we're about 4 months away from being empty nesters. And she said, I'm going to go with you everywhere you go. And I said, you're not going to like me anymore. And so we'll see how that works out. Dennis and Jan are close by, so I think we'll be okay. I believe that this is a gathering of unique men and women who are really anointed to impact the culture. I was talking to my friend Carl Smith, who is a bishop up in Pittsburgh and in Oakland, oversees works there. And I was just telling him that what God has drawn to Dennis Peacock are men and women who are incredibly peculiar, who carry anointings that are not normal, but they are anointings that are necessary to advance the kingdom of God in measures that I believe have not been seen before. I believe the church is in its finest hour, but I also believe that there are men and women who are being trained up in pockets like this to be able to take hold of the message of the kingdom of God and to flesh it out and wherever the soles of their feet tread. And so I believe that this setting is one of those settings where we are coming together, like-minded men and women, realizing humbly that we are a remnant, not to boast in ourselves or not to boast in anything that we're doing, but we have, as we would describe a remnant, decided to be people who remain faithful to certain tenets and principles and the heartbeat of God, and really pursue that regardless of people who may fall away or people who have said that I'll be with you until the end, and guess what, this is the end, and people that carry great anointings but have been unable to really flesh out what God is doing in the earth. And so I believe that as a remnant group, many are called, but few are chosen. I like to believe the chosen are the ones that show up. In a remnant group like this, there are all of us who have been called by God to do some unique and peculiar things that I believe that God will bring to pass. I think that God has placed man in the earth because God is looking for someone to demonstrate his nature, to demonstrate his character, and to demonstrate his power. And as we come together in fellowship and in development and in growth, I think that is something that we must pay close attention to, because the nature of God is seeping out of us, the character is, but also the power of God is seeping out of us, in order that we're men and women who take our rightful place in the kingdom of God. God places us, and we know this through Dennis's teaching and through some of your teachings and others, we know that God places us in the earth to steward it. He puts us here to govern the earth and to make sure that we are moving in a capacity that the earth begins to look like heaven. The only thing that the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them to do was to pray. And when they began that pray, a part of that prayer was that the kingdom of God would come and the will of God would be done in all of the earth. God has called us not only as stewards of the earth, but in that he's told us to occupy until he returns. And so when God is talking about occupying, he's talking about filling space, but he's also talking about increasing the market share of the kingdom of God in all of the earth, and to trade and to barter, so that the light we carry, we trade that for someone's darkness. The increase that we carry, we help someone to know that we can trade that for your lack. We can move you into a place and trade your crooked places for straight places. We can clear up and bring clarity to where there's confusion in your life because of the anointings that we carry to occupy, and to bring things that are low high and things that are high low, but exchanging with the marketplace that they understand and realize and see that we carry something that normal people don't carry, that we walk in a way by which the nature, character, and power of God is seen by the way we conduct business until he returns. We move in the experiences of God, and we communicate those and demonstrate those so that people will see the greatness of God, so that they would see that he is high and lifted up, that he's sovereign, that he rules and he reigns over all things, and that there is nothing that is greater than him, nothing that is higher than him, and that he can step into any situation, any circumstance, and bring his glory into it and change things in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so when God tells us to occupy, he's helping us to understand, according to scripture, that the heavens belong to God, but the earth, scripture says, that he is given to the sons of man. And so God gives the earth to us, and wherever we are and whatever we do, we're supposed to make that look like Him. We change the conversations in the break room. We change the conversations of politics. We change the conversations of the seven mountains, and we not only engage them, but we move in strategies to be able to infiltrate them and to bring God's mind and heart to bear, because there's something that God has spoken about everything that exists. But God speaks to man, and He says, I want you to flesh out what heaven looks like. I want you to see what it looks like, what it means, how it's demonstrated, and I want you to come carrying that just as Jesus did. He comes into the region, and He's carrying the kingdom of God, and He says, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is something all of us know, but that being at hand means that it is so near to us. It is so close to us. It is not something that comes with observation, but it's something that is within us that has to be tilled and has to be cultivated in order that people begin to understand that this kingdom is greater than the castle at Disney. This kingdom is greater than the other kingdoms of the world. This kingdom is mighty and is powerful and it's full of love and it's full of kindness and gentleness, but it roars like a lion and it is full of things that are unseen and it will manifest things that we are in need of, and it brings the very glory of God to bear on cities and communities and nations. So God says, I want you to steward my earth and make everything look like heaven. So God moves us into a place where He says, my kingdom is on a forceful advance. And that's what you and I are a part of. We're a part of a kingdom that is not lackadaisical. We're a part of a kingdom that is not slumbering, but we're a part of a kingdom that is on a forceful advance. I remember when I was doing college ministry for Bishop Long in Atlanta, and the name of our yearly conference was The Violent Take It By Force. And there were so many people that sent rebuttals to the name of our conference that we had to create a reply to it and help people to understand what we were meaning by that, because they just didn't think that we should be violent in the spirit. And so we added a disclaimer and a statement, rather, to what we mean and what we stand for. But I do believe that the kingdom of God has to be on a violent advance, simply because the wiles of the devil is not sitting around just allowing us to move forward, but they're pressing against us. And the way that we resist them are many, for we have weapons of warfare. But this warfare that we're in is so incredible because it allows God's kingdom to begin to overtake kingdoms of darkness. The biggest challenge to the kingdom of God advancing, I don't believe, is Satan. I believe the biggest challenge to the kingdom of God advancing is content believers. Men and women who in the spirit would rather stay in the safe outskirts of suburbs under pomegranate trees like Saul instead of going to the other side of the garrison. Realizing that there's something over there that perhaps if we will mount up and go as one united force and people, there are some things that we can take hold of that will change the very world we live in. It's good to have an armor bearer. It's good to have relationships. It's good to be in community with people who say, let us go to the other side of the garrison, for perhaps the God has for us something that is better than what we're getting right now. He's got something that is stronger, something that carries more power, something that moves, and something that has its being. There are mindsets and attitudes. There are circumstances and situations that are over there that we can step into as men and women of the kingdom of God and take hold of the fruit that God has for us. And God's looking for people like Jonathan's armor bearer who don't have to have their name called, but they can just be called whatever. Just as long as there's a battle, just as long as there's something that needs to be taken hold of for the kingdom of God, let me step out of what I'm in and get into that thing. Let me step out of contentment. Let me step out of just resting in good old religion and good church. But let me jump into something like what has never been seen before, because there's things that God is looking to do that we haven't even seen. The eyes have not even heard, and ears have not heard, or eyes haven't seen what God has for us. And I believe that as we come together as men and women advancing the kingdom of God, we're going to see those things and take hold of those things. And we're going to see that this living hope, whose name is Jesus, is raising up inside of us to bring his glory to bear on an earth that is bare and on an earth that needs to see people who are committed to a living king. He is a king, and he is a priest, and we are his joint heirs, you and I, and we too, being kings and priests under the order of Christ Jesus as joint heirs, we have an aim, which is to govern in the earth, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God, him being the chief facilitator of all that goes on since Christ has ascended. In the discussion of kings and priests, which you laid out so phenomenally last night, let's continue to move through that and understand that when we hear the word king especially, there's a great point of hesitancy. And I want to be able to speak to some of that tonight. Let me say it like this. It's okay for us to desire to function as kings. It's okay for us to desire to function as the kings that we are. This is incredibly important because if I took a poll in the body of Christ, I think that most people are okay with us being viewed as priests. The challenge is when we get to that king stuff. That's where the challenge is. It gets to that king stuff that causes many believers actually to pull back from our identity in God, to actually pull back from this level of appointment and this level of authority and this level of identity that God wants to settle in us so that we can not only move as priests, but we move as kings as well. Jesus is both. And because God has made us Jesus's brethren, we too have the assignment to live as priests and to live as kings. Let me put a marker there and say, however, we don't reign alone. And that's what's so important about what we're doing now. And it speaks to one of the challenges in the body of Christ where everybody, not everybody, but so many are trying to be popular. So many are trying to be known. So many are trying to have the biggest building, the biggest groups of people, trying to have the greatest fame and the greatest notoriety. Many are trying to be something that is out here because they believe that the more that the world or the body of Christ sees them exalted, the more it will do for them. But we have to understand that no man, no woman has been called to build their own empire in the kingdom of God. God has made us a body of believers, and we are a body of kings. We are a community of kings that come together in unity and in harmony and in one accordness. And from that, we bring the kingdom of God to pass. From that, we show what Jesus is like and how Jesus moves and how Jesus lives and how he walks and thinks and how he is consumed with us becoming one body. Many members, but one body. Many different backgrounds, but one body. Many places we've come from, but one body. And if you're hurt, I'm hurt. And if you don't feel good, I don't feel good. But what's in me takes up your lack because nobody's trying to be king of the mountain or priest of the year. We're just trying to advance what God wants to do. And what we're after is that the Lord would be seen high and mighty and lifted up so that people would understand that our God is a great God and he is a sovereign God and a powerful God and a God that is full of love. And we have to rid ourselves of anything that is in us and walk in the humility of what oneness can look like. For it's there that the Lord commands blessings. So as we talk in today, let's just continue to build from what we heard last night. Because one thing I do want to say is that there is significance in being a priest. And when we talk about significance, we're talking about who we are and what we are and what we do as God's representatives and God's ambassadors. When we look at 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, it expresses our priesthood. It says, come to him, the living stone, which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come and let, like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. This is the significance of the priesthood. For thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion, a chosen, honored, precious chief cornerstone, and he who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, shall never be disappointed or put to shame. Verse 7, to you then who believe, who adhere to, trust him, and rely on him is the preciousness. But for those who disbelieve, it is true, the very stone which the builders rejected, Adam read that this morning, has become the main cornerstone. And the stone that will cause stumbling and a rock that will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey and disbelieve God's word as those who reject him were destined and appointed to do. But you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a dedicated nation. You are God's own purchased and special people that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and displays, the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. This is my hope. My hope is that I'm able to serve us in taking the biblical posture that will allow us to serve the generations that are on the earth now. As priests, we must first continually present ourselves to Jesus. Why? Because that's how we're built up. Our edification prepares us for God's processes of molding us into a spiritual house. We must be a place where a living and an alive God can dwell in us as King. But we have to put ourselves in the posture of being built up. Often in groups like this, we have people who become so busy with the work of the Lord that we forget about the Lord of the work. That we forget about the intimacy with God and the communing with God and the time that we must take with God to be built up in order that we can be able to run this race that is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to him who endures. And so we have to be built up into this spiritual house that can house God. We can't go out empty. We can't go out lacking. We can't go out without wisdom and insight and revelation and understanding. We have to be able to carry and move the very things that God puts in us in our times of communion with God, in our times with dining with God and supping with God, in our koinonia, getting so close to God and getting God so close to us and pursuing him and running after him more than anything, waking up with him on my mind, going through the day, practicing the presence of God. It's required of the priest because the priest must carry God's glory, and there's nothing like going in the battle and not having glory, going into a situation and not having the power of God rest upon me because I've been so busy with the work that I never pursued God. I never ran after him. I let other people do that. I let other leaders do that because I was so busy doing my thing that I never got face to face with God. I never laid on my face with God. Those things are so vitally important to us because we must be a place where God can live, a place where God can unction us, a place where we feel and hear the voice of God, where God comforts us and covers us and strengthens us and keeps us. And no matter how big or the assignment may get, it cannot be completed without the presence of God. And so God says, let me build myself up in you so you sound like me and look like me and think like me and act like me, and you won't go anywhere I won't go, and you won't step into anything that I wouldn't step into, and I want you to be conformed into my image. I want people to see me when they see you. I want to speak to the me that is inside of you. I want to decrease everything about you so that you're totally consumed and overwhelmed with me. I want to be cultivated in you. I want to talk with you. I want to dine with you. I want to talk, and you can share everything with me, the good and the bad and the ugly, because I'm sending you forth in power and anointing, but I want to send you forth in integrity. I want to touch everything inside of you that you don't want me to touch. I want to move in every way in you that's going to wake up things in you that lie dormant inside of you, things that could trip you up, things that could allow the time bombs of the adversary that are ticking to get you off stride and to get you out of place. But if you're in me and I'm into you, then we become one through the spiritual edification. See, spiritual edification adds strength to our lives. That's why I'm made strong in him and the power of his might. It's not my might. It's not my power. It's not my ability. If you're like me, you're at the end of your ability. You can't trust you for a whole lot, but you can trust him in you. It adds strength to me. It gives us greater ability to trust God, to lean not to our own understanding. When God says to do things that don't seem to make sense, we still are able to trust him because we've been built up. We're able to stand against the lies of the devil because we've been built up. We're able to stand against what comes at us from people and places and things because we've been built up. And the first thing that I do is not try and solve a problem. The first thing I do is run after him on a daily basis, allowing him to work in me and have his way in me, because in that I'm now able to trust you, because you're true to your word. You're true to your nature. You're true to what you say you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And for many of us, we have had times and seasons where we felt like we could not feel God. And God is saying, I'm calling you back to me now because I'm raising the bar on the assignment. I'm bringing you back into me now because there's something that I'm calling you to do that is not like anything that's been seen before. There is a move of God that is raising up in the earth, and God is looking for men and women who will walk in it in their authority and in revelation and in wisdom that is beyond their years, and who will move as intercessors, and who will pull heaven down, and who will cause the things of God to manifest. But God has said, I got to know you and you got to know me. So we can move in that level of breakthrough and that level of newness and refreshing. When we're edified as priests, it gives us greater ability in God. It increases the measure of our holiness in God, which is not a word that people like to talk about in the church anymore. But somebody's got to be righteous. Somebody's got to live holy. Somebody's got to pursue the things of God. We can't be men and women who, because we're after this and after that, don't come into the place of God and say, Lord, I've sinned against you and you only, and I've done evil in your sight, and I repent and turn away from those things. It increases our holiness when we get in the presence of God. He doesn't want us to come in so he can point out what's not right. He just wants us to come in so we can get it right. Edification is a catalyst for more excellent sacrifices of labor. What I do for God looks better when I've been with God. What I do for God looks better when I've been in that place of seeking first him and what he desires and what's important to him. When I know how to get in his presence and just be quiet. And if you don't want to say nothing, I won't say nothing. And if you don't want to say anything, then I'm not going to try and make a conversation. I'm just going to rest in you. I just want to get consumed with you. I just want to get drenched in you. I just want to walk out of this place that I'm in with you, carrying you, so that the glory of God steps into every single thing that I step into. It gives us a more excellent sacrifice of labor that we give unto God, where people begin to adore his preciousness inside of us. As priests, we're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. We're together. We're a holy nation. We're God's own possession. We're proclaimers of the excellencies of God. We're people of God. We're receivers of his mercy as priests. We're distributors of his mercy. And we offer spiritual services to God. We offer sacrifices to God that can change the trending of anything that happens in all of the earth. All of this, when activated and pursued and demonstrated, it silences the ignorant charges against God. It vindicates him. It shows people through our lives, because we've been with him, that he is real and he is true and he cares. As well, it silences the criticism of foolish persons. Can we go further? I want you to catch this, because here is what makes you so attractive in God. What makes you so desirable, and some of us don't even know how good we look in God, because God won't always let the tree see the fruit. But this is what makes you attractive, no matter where you're from and no matter what you do in God. What makes you so attractive is that God knows who you are, and nations want kings. Nations want kings. Nations want kings. God designed nations to want kings. There's a misinterpretation that has been communicated to the body of Christ, and it's that the children of Israel fell out of the will of God when they desired to have a king like all the other nations did. It's not so. Genesis 17:6 tells us that I will make you exceedingly fruitful, Abraham, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. It's not that God didn't want them to have kings. It's that he didn't want them to have an unprocessed king. God had prophesied that my words will not fall to the ground and they will prosper in whatever I send them into. The king that the children of Israel wanted was unprocessed. And the king who was crowned, who was crowned king, while the king was king, wasn't fully processed, but he had yielded to going through process. And so God says, I've always wanted my people to have kings because I am the king. David was not processed fully, but he was in the process of being processed. You know, if you get chased around by a crazy man for 10 to 12 years, that'll process you. Yeah, that'll process you. You get in relationship with the wrong person. That'll process you. Make the wrong business decision. Make the right business decision. It'll process you. God's a God of process, and he has and he doesn't discriminate against who is going to process, because Jesus suffered. Guess what? You will suffer. But I'd rather suffer for righteousness' sake than for unrighteousness' sake. I'd rather go through what I've got to go through to become what I'm supposed to be, other than going through things because I'm out of the will of God. But everybody's got to be processed. And so David, as opposed to Saul, was a king who yielded to processing. Do you know why you have been and you're being processed? You've been processed because God knows things about you that you don't know. God knows things about you that you do know, but you don't want to admit. And so God's design is to process you, and he processes you when it seems like everything is hunky-dory and everything is well, and then all of a sudden, where'd this come from? It's because God is always looking for something to draw you back to him. God is not the creator of it. I would not put that on God, but we have these open doors in our lives that allow things to slip in. And they begin to move in our lives, and God sees these things, and he says, this must get processed before I send you here or send you there or give you that level of increase or promotion. There's got to be processing in your life. Even Jesus had to be processed. He could not go to Calvary the way he stepped into Jerusalem. There had to be the processing. And for all of us who are moving in this kingdom understanding and in a kingly understanding, kings will be processed. The Bible says that he was tried at all points, yet was without sin. God will process us to burn everything out of us that doesn't look like him, everything in us that doesn't think like him, everything inside of us that wants to rule, every kingdom that is inside of us that is not like the kingdom of God, every thought, every word that stands diametrically opposed to the kingdom inside of us, God will come after it, and he'll come after it in power, and he'll come after it with a vengeance. He'll come after anything because he loves you so much and wants you to reflect him that he'll touch every kingdom that is inside of you and burn it out and drive it out and even sweep away the residue, because he wants you to look just like him, and he doesn't want the kingdoms of this world to rule in our lives. And so God says, let me process you. Doesn't mean I hate you. Doesn't mean I'm mad at you. I say now, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. That's why he's processing you. He wants you to get into everything. You were the one that prayed the prayer. Have your way, God. Work your work in me, Jesus. Make me what you want me to be. Oh, yeah. What are you after, God? That's what I want to be. He says, I'll show you. But we've prayed those prayers, and we need to be thankful that God's heard those prayers so that he can set us up and build us into kings that can rule in righteousness and in power with the wisdom of God and according to love and mercy. David had problems as a king, but he was more processed than Saul. And so we've had kings down through the generations that have not been good kings, but then here comes Jesus. And he brings the perspective of what royalty from heaven looks like. Here comes a king with a kingdom. Here comes a king with responsibility and accountability. Here comes a king that has been released for such a time as this into the very earth to show us what kingship should look like. I think one thing we sometimes forget, Dennis, is that he did what he did as a man. My God, what a man, what a man. What a man, what a man, what a man. What a man that was to be able to do what he did as a man. He disrobed of all of his godliness, but he still kept that kingly anointing on his life. And he did it to show us that you can walk through life in your flesh and never yield to it. He gave us hope. He gave us vision. He showed us what real kings do and how real kings live. And he showed us what kings should pursue, even as mothers, what kings should pursue. And even as children, what kings should pursue and go after. He was the pattern. God is possessed with patterns. God, Paul pulls Moses up on the mountain. He says, build according to the pattern. Do what's in the pattern. Jesus gave us the pattern of what a king should look like, a humble king, a meek king, a wise king, a king who did not show favoritism, a king who was carrying the very mind and the heart of God into every circumstance and every situation. This is where our effectiveness gets enlarged. It's in doing as Jesus did. That's where our effectiveness is enlarged. He was modeling the promise to Abraham in the sense that it is the intent of God for kings to be planted in and bring reform to nations and systems and communities and industry as antidotes to all manner of ills due to the level of creativity, ingenuity, character, revelation, insight, gifting, breakthrough anointing that we carry from our kingdom. Remember that we're a remnant people, which makes us as well influencers in the earth. Every one of us are influencers. Every one of us are leading people that we see and people that we don't see. Every one of us are taking people on a journey, whether we know them or not, because they're looking at us. And you are influencers in the marketplace and bringing change and bringing ideas and concepts to bear that are straight from heaven down. Because as kings, a part of what you carry is the ingenuity to bring change and transformation. Our co-laboring is not to possess a title. It's not to possess fame, but to get God's will manifested in the earth. See, one thing about kings is that kings are kings because they live in patience and in temperance. But they still have a sense of urgency. Well, why is the sense of urgency important? It's important because we cannot put off on another dispensation what must happen now. We can't do it. We can't put it on other people. And I say this to you in the spirit of Mordecai, that perhaps you've come to the kingdom when all hell's breaking loose. Perhaps you've come to the kingdom when people are more unsure about life than they've ever been. Perhaps you've come to the kingdom when people are needing answers and direction. Perhaps you've come to the kingdom. You understand, you are not here because your mama looked at your daddy with a twinkle in her eye. You are not here because they had a hormonal rush. You are here because God had to get you into the earth. And he didn't care who he used because he's God. and he's sovereign. That outraces any problems you've got with how you got here. Volkswagen, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. It don't even matter. I'm here. Is that too much for some of y'all? You know, I don't go nowhere to get invited back. So I just let it rip. Dennis will fix it. Yeah. God had to get you here. That's what God was after. Because what you carried is for now. What you have is for now. There's not a problem that can't be solved by the believers that are in the earth. Kings never walk away from problems. Jesus never walked away from a problem. He stood and turned and dealt with everything that was brought to him because kings solve problems. I told my sons, I said, boys, if you want to make a lot of money, learn how to solve problems. Learn how to put fires out. Huh, how about that? Learn how to be the answer. Learn how to carry the antidote. Learn how to reason from a biblical worldview. Learn how to bring truth that people have never heard before. Bring revelation that is in the heavens waiting for the body of Christ to grab. But we're leaving it to the preacher. We're leaving it to the elders. We're leaving it to the deacons. But it's in the marketplace. It's in men and women like you who sit here carrying business savvy and abilities to be able to impact worlds and mounds of ideas and situations that are going on. But it's got to be in the kingly anointing so you govern that territory. Kings aren't afraid of anything. Kings take on things that other people don't want to deal with. What's going on in your life right now is that the provoking of God is getting you to participate with him in the earth. That's why he keeps showing you things. That's why he keeps dropping things in your spirit. That's why you argue with CNN every time you watch it. That's why you argue with Fox every time you watch it. That's why you look at situations in society and you've got an answer. They just don't know I'm over here. You've got the breakthrough. You carry the capacity. And what God is doing by his spirit is stirring things up right now. And he's stirring up men and stirring up women and even stirring up children who will come and be what the world needs. He's revealing the anointing of kingship through people who will do what brings individuals into the recognition that Jesus is Lord. He's stirring up kingship so that we become activated and reactivated as an end-time army of service of nations and lovers of what God loves as we demonstrate what God looks like. We have an invitation from God. Stop rebuking God. This ain't the devil, baby. This is God. This ain't the devil causing things right now. This is God allowing things. This is God getting our attention. This is God bringing us back to our first love. This is God awakening us and saying, come up here a little higher that I may show you things that must take place after this. You see, the view is different from down here. And many in the body of Christ are living from down here. And God is saying, come up higher so I can show you things that must take place after transform. That must take place after your next worship time. That must take place after you read the word. That must take place after you come out of the huddle. That must take place when we get into the streets and we begin to live life. God is saying, come up here. It's an invitation for God. This ain't a weekend in California. This is an invitation from God. And he's using to deliver the invitation. You're not here because you can afford it. You're here because God wanted you to be here. And God will break the back of a man or a woman that would keep you from getting into the place of him this weekend. Because this is pivotal for where the body of Christ must go. And there's a sound coming out of a man.
that are saying things that others would dare to say. And I'm not exalting him above measure. And he's not the only Elijah. God's got many, many more. But I believe and declare in the name of Jesus that where they are in their camps, they are bringing together strategies and insight. And the glory of God is falling upon them that they carry the kingly anointing out of where they come from. There's a metron, a metron, that each of us have been given, a marked off territory, a boundary area that all of us has been given. I think one of the challenges in the body of Christ is we just want the preacher to step into the metron. We don't want to step into the metron. Let the preacher do that. Let the staff do that. But there's a metron that God's given every one of us to influence change inside of it. When you came into the earth, you came into the earth carrying a salve, carrying an antidote, carrying something that nobody else in the earth is carrying. It is unique to you. And God has anointed you and graced you to bring back the past, because kings are not afraid, as I said earlier. Kings bring change. Kings rid their marked off territories of racism and classism. They destroy in their territories any level of ungodly religion. Kings are not more white and black and brown than they are Christian. Their belief system is not according to their culture or their ethnicity or their racial and financial demographics or even the level of comfort they get by being only with what looks like them and acts like them and sounds like them. No, it's according to the kingdom of God that kings live from. As kings in his kingdom, we stand against everything inside of us and everything outside of us that we cannot find in the word of God. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, kings stand against it. Which, by the way, we carry in it the revelation of one blood. Many colors, but one blood. Many different financial statuses, but one blood. Many communities, but one blood. Many churches, many differences, but one blood. Noah only had one blood in him, and it went into Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And that one blood populated the earth and gave it its pigmentation. Ain't but one blood, boo! And our nation needs wisdom. You ought to say in your inner man, that's me. And our nation needs revelation. And you ought to say in your inner man, I'm carrying it. Oh, shabbat. And your nation needs the power of God. And that's inside of me. Catch this. As we awaken to our kingly role, we will see and operate in increased levels of strategy. Yeah. There's something about knowing who you are. There's something about knowing what you carry. It causes things to happen in your life that are just totally supernatural. Because he knows the plans he has for you. Before he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. He knew what assignment he was going to give us. And so he places inside of us, as we come into the awakening of who we are, wisdom and leadership, comprehension and charisma, benevolence, and last but not least, the authoritative release of decrees and declarations that shift environments and bring atmospheres into a place where they're conducive to the move of God. We are those that don't whine and roll around in sorrow and pain and disappointment, not forever. No, we speak to the mountain. I ain't climbing up the rough side. I'm speaking to the rough side, and I'm saying, be cast into the sea. Meaning that we give it an official order through an explicit statement or announcement. We tell darkness what to do, not what it's going to do. It doesn't do what it wants to do around kings, because kings legislate the darkness. Kings speak those things that are not as though they were. Kings hear the word of the Lord and speak the word of the Lord because it becomes a weapon of their warfare. Kings know how to get out a good hallelujah because it brings heaven down. That was a good place for a good hallelujah. That was a good place for a good hallelujah. I know you might not can say hallelujah in your church, but it's okay in here. Hallelujah! Maybe somebody out there will get saved if we shout loud enough. Hallelujah! Maybe somebody in the street will change if we shout loud enough. Hallelujah! Give God a hallelujah. And we declare every Jericho wall in this city coming down through the shouting of God's people. Oh, this is the kingdom of God. Kings and priests reveal a nature that the world needs. God's troubling the nation, and more specifically, the body of Christ. Because he's wanting to activate us into a place of ruling atmospheres, of governing territories. He's looking to turn every worship center into a place of government that brings the rulership of God to bear, and that it becomes a house of activity that activates the very nature of God and his host. That's what we carry back. That's what you walk in. It is available to every single one of us. God has no problems with us being kings. The thing I love about Jesus was that he was the humble king, the broken king. But more than anything, he was the processed king. He could not be resurrected until he had been processed. He could not get out of the grave until he had been processed. He could not sweep things under the rug, because sooner or later you're going to trip over them because you refuse to be processed. And when God identifies kings, you know what he brings with it? The grace to live out the kingship. We've got a hyper grace that's happening in the body of Christ that I don't believe lines up with the scriptures. The grace of God is that empowerment to do what we cannot do without him. And there is a grace for you kings and kingettes. There's a grace for you kings that will allow you to move in dimensions and levels that bring changes in the places where you are. The change that your region needs is you. The anointing that it needs is yours. The vision that it needs is from you. And I'm believing that God has brought us together this weekend to activate that. Just lift your hands where you're sitting. Just lift your hands. I believe he's brought us here this weekend to activate that priestly anointing in you even in greater measure. Yes, God, do that in your sons and in your daughters. Release, Heavenly Father, from heaven a new stirring of the priestly anointing. God, in Jesus' name, let your sons and daughters long for more of you. Grace them, God, to walk in love and walk in mercy. Grace them, God, to be distributors of your love and your power. Grace them, God, to show the love of Jesus to all that they encounter, God. Cultivate in them greater levels of intimacy as priests and as kings, God. I declare kingship after the order of Christ Jesus. Let it be released, Heavenly Father. Let it be poured out. Let it come forth, God. Let it move, not by power nor might, but by your spirit, God. Let a new grace be born inside of your sons and daughters. Bring them into the places of answers. Bring them into the places of breakthroughs, God. I decree and declare them moving beyond disappointment. I decree and declare they're moving beyond failure. I decree and declare they're moving beyond fear and rejection and disappointment and intimidation, God. I declare the activation of the kingly anointing. And Lord, let it flow out of us as it did Zechariah. And let him speak to the Zerubbabels and cause the mountains in their lives to come down. Lift your hands. Kingdom of God, consume your sons. Kingdom of God,
Grace us to be kings after your nature, after your character. Kingdom of God, do in us what the creature who waits in earnest expectation is waiting to see. In Jesus' name, we receive these things and say amen. Amen. God bless you. Peace.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.